Chapter 26. Horror. Finn was so shocked that the vitals monitor on the bed showed a spike in his heart rate. The team transporting him stopped in concern.
"Dr. Evers, are you all right?" the nurse asked urgently. "Do you think you need to go back to the unit?"
I'm fine,
he assured them. He rubbed his stomach and put on a rueful expression.
"Even though this hospital food is tearing me up something awful."
His vitals normalized quickly, so they started moving again. While they did, one of the orderlies looked down with phantom pain on his face. He whispered loud enough for everyone to hear.
"This food is responsible for the worst weekend of my life, man, I hear you."
No one else confirmed, but a mix of grimaces and chuckles was shared all around. Finn gave a faint smile and then closed his eyes. He wasn't resting, of course. He was reading his new quest prompt. It occurred to him that his HUD was the ultimate tool for an introvert.
"You have been offered a quest, life crop. Quest grade, dull bronze. Quest rank, common. Quest type, personal growth. Your whisper ability has detected a cluster of the life element. Discover the source of this energy, and perhaps learn more about your ability. Success conditions. Discover the source of the life element. Minimum reward, 50 XP. Penalty for failure of quest, none. Do you wish to accept, yes or no?"
Finn guessed that the experience reward was lower because of the grade of the quest, seeing as how the Path of War quest was common ranked as well. Or it could have been the quest type. A primordial quest certainly sounded more impressive than personal growth. Though the type of this quest made his Scooby sense tingle. Somehow, he didn't see the labyrinth placing a premium on self-help and spiritual awareness. He immediately accepted it, despite the reward offering far less XP than his first quest. Not that the amount of XP mattered, seeing as how leveling was locked. Hell, even without the quest, he still would have hustled his butt back up here. How could his curiosity allow for anything else? Finn wanted to know as much about his new reality as he could. It looked like this quest's purpose was to encourage him to do exactly that. He still wasn't sure what he wanted to do with his life, now that Lauren was gone. But until he made a definitive decision, he wouldn't deny his fascination with the changes he'd undergone since the wave. Seeing that his heart rate was calming, the transport team resumed wheeling him to his new room. While he lay there, Finn started to wonder at his eagerness to accept the quest. While he'd always been inquisitive, he'd rarely been impulsive. So why couldn't he wait to sneak back to the cancer ward and find out where the life element was? After all, he'd already nearly died once just by using an orb to increase his constitution. Something that basically doubled how much health he had in his body had nearly killed him. Obviously, danger could blindside him from any direction now. Who knew where the next threat would come from? So why was he willing to dive right back into experimenting with more magic? As interested as he was in discovering more about his new nature, his analytical mind couldn't help but think about what the price of all this would be, and not just for him, but for the world. What nightmares would arise to balance out the wonder? Then again, could he afford to not learn more, no matter what the final price was? He was sure other people were already gathering all the info they could about this new world. Finn didn't think he was overly special. Sure, he'd accomplished something in his life. He'd survived the Third War when so many of his brothers and sisters in arms hadn't, when billions had lost their lives. Afterward, he'd been able to become a physician, something that took a decade of effort, in a vain attempt to balance out the scales. While he was proud of himself and what he'd achieved, billions of others had also survived the war, and there were about 1 million doctors in the former U.S., all of which meant he doubted he was the only one that had been changed by the wave. Some of the news stations had even mentioned reports of people seeing boxes in their vision, which begged a bunch of questions. How many other people had gotten this HUD? How many others had been given abilities? Whisper had let him absorb a fuel cell explosion less than a yard from his own face. What were other people capable of now? What were they going to do with that power?
What would they do to gain more? Which brought him back to his original question. Why was he so eager to grab more of this power himself? Even after he'd almost died several times, he felt almost compelled to learn about where the life element was. And why wasn't he thinking about Lauren more? She was never far from his thoughts, and God knew he could be a cold bastard, but he'd loved her. He still loved her. Yet while his heart was aching, shouldn't it be worse than this? Was he being manipulated somehow? Were his very thoughts and emotions being manipulated? Finn had no way to know, but he smelled fuckery. And if the HUD, interface, labyrinth, or whatever this all was, could manipulate who he was, what was it doing to the rest of the world? Even if it wasn't direct manipulation, and was just indirect encouragement to grow and get stronger through these quests, how quickly would the world change? Would it change for the better? No matter how the way if it changed Earth's natural laws, people were still the same as far as he could see, and he knew people. Some men and women were devoted to the common good, but most operated from self-interest, plain and simple. While some might call him pessimistic, he considered himself a realist. Watching out for yourself didn't make you evil. It was what you were willing to do to achieve your goals that determined your worth. There was a large difference between speeding on the drive to work and being willing to push someone onto the tracks so you didn't miss your train. Most people wouldn't do acts that would be considered evil unless they were placed in extraordinary circumstances. There was another category of people, though. Those who would do anything to achieve their goals. Those who believed the highest cause was always their own, no matter how many men, women, and children suffered to achieve their desires. And they still weren't the worst. There were also those who were just downright awful. As a great man once said, some men just want to see the world burn. Kyle's breath came faster. He couldn't help it. They were so close, so wet, so glistening, so many pussies and nipples and titties. Kyle's tongue stuck slightly past his panting lips. The girls' voices competed with the sounds of the shower. Practice had let out a few minutes before, and the entire squad was cleaning the sweat off. They joked and teased each other while they soaked up and rinsed off. All their bodies. His breath sped out even faster. Watching his fantasy come to life, Kyle was shocked by the things they said. Women had never been kind to him. They'd mocked him and called him creep. No matter where he went, he saw them laughing at him. Laughing because they knew about his problem. That all meant he had no real experience with women. They were just creatures that taunted him in his dreams, objects of desire that he didn't understand. When he heard them saying such filthy things about men and sex, he was appalled. Then he was excited. Then ashamed of himself, which led to anger, which led to excitement, which led to shame, which led to... His entire body was camouflaged to match the white tiles. Even his eyes and open panting mouth were white squares with whiter lines between. In the past days, he learned that if he didn't move too quickly, then he was nearly invisible. When he moved his hand down to his privates, he did it slowly. His breath came faster as he stared and stroked himself. He couldn't help it. Watching them soap their supple bodies, rubbing between their crevices, one thought played through his mind. Each time it did, it seemed to be building in strength. Whores. Whores. Whores! A young man ran into his superior's office, placing both hands together under his chin and bowing slightly.
Dr. Gamache! Dr. Gamache! There is an emergency in the central province!
The elderly woman looked up from her desk, sighing slightly. The younger generation was always so excitable. Had she ever been so impetuous?
The entire world is in a state of emergency after the event, she responded calmly.
The wave,
he corrected her, nodding.
He was in so much distress he did not even realize he had corrected the woman who was in charge of the health of all of Sri Lanka. That made her focus, not in anger, but in concern. Ramesh might be excitable, but he was always respectful. Something must truly be wrong.
"Take a breath, Muli, and tell me,"
she spoke in her same calm voice. He did as directed, blowing the air deliberately out through his nose.
"There is a lice outbreak."
She frowned slightly. There had to be more than that.
"Initially, it did not register on our radar. There has been a large uptick in violence after the wave, after all. I was sent pictures, however..."
His hands shook, but he tapped his link and sent a series of images to her smart desk. Her eyes widened in alarm.
"This is not lice."
She was looking at a series of bloody scalps and weeping children. She flicked her finger once, twice, and then in larger sweeps, each movement showing more children, all with the same horrible presentation. There were hundreds of them.
"We did not think it was lice either, Dr. Gamaje, but we have recovered countless mites during autopsies."
"Autopsies?"
she repeated sharply.
"Yes, Dr. Gamaje. To date, 6% of the cases have been found to be fatal."
He sent another image. It was indeed a head louse.
"Why is it so bad?"
"We don't know. This outbreak came out of nowhere and spread so quickly. We do know it is resistant to chemical treatments. Only removal of the individual insects has proven successful. That brought another finding."
He tapped on his link, zooming in on the picture of the head louse. Dr. Gamaje blinked in confusion. It had been a long time since she had looked at a picture of a louse, but she didn't remember their skin looking like that.
"What is wrong with its skin? Why is it that color?"
"That is the problem,"
he responded gravely.
"We have found that the individual insects can endure pressure up to 5 times greater than is usually required to kill them. That is why their skin is a different color than normal. Microscopic analysis has been done dozens of times to reach a single conclusion. Their bodies are sheathed in a thin layer of metal."
"What?"
she responded, blinking.
"Yes, Dr. Gamaje. There is an infestation of metal insects in our country, and they are eating our children."
Around the world, fantastic and astounding events were taking place. Some were stories of hope and beauty, but they were drowned in seas of violence and horror.